Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors,
feet on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954, with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, welcome to Inside Outdoors. And this is old Buddy Bill this morning, kind of about halfway froze up. But
well, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just noticed, it's 26 degrees.
Yes, it is.
It just dropped a degree there while we was waiting to come on the air.
Yeah, and today it's going to be a high of 51 degrees, and tonight back down to about 27. Gets a little better next week, about the same really, but maybe not quite as cold overnight.
Well, at least March is coming in like a lion.
That's true.
And they say it'll go out like a little lamb.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. First couple of weeks here is going to be rough, and then it'll start moderating, and should be the last 2 weeks should be pretty nice weather.
Well, I tell you, that lion tore up my bank account.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, paying for that heat.
That heat, yeah. Man. Yeah. It'll ruin your bank account right now. This winter, January and February, has not been too all great.
No.
It was pretty chilly there. We had some below zero, but it's coming around now. Spring's about 15 days away, and just about 15 days away, isn't it?
It
spring
is.
Spring is, yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Oh, I am too. I'm ready to get in the garden and start setting out some plants and getting ready for summer. Yeah.
And we want to thank WFHB. You're listening to listener-supported WFHB, Bloomington, Bedford, Ellettsville, Nashville, community radio for South Central Indiana. We're online at WFHB.org, so if you are somewhere where you can't hear us, I guess it's if you can't hear us, you won't know that I'm saying this, but you got to know and tell everybody else that they can listen online if they'd like to. And also, we podcast this. And you can look under WFHB and find our show if you just happen to have missed it. So go ahead and do that next week. And, Bill, do you have a lake report? What's going on with Lake Monroe right now?
I do have a lake report. Of course, we've had a lot of rain in the last couple of weeks, as you well know.
Still high this week?
And the lake is high, 546.34. And that comes from the Corps of Engineers. Pat Robinson down at the Corps of Engineers gave that information yesterday. And the normal is 538, so we're, by golly, 8 foot above normal.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I'd say their Stip Road is impassable.
Yeah.
Impassable.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I did see a boat go down yesterday. I don't know where he went down to. Just look it over, or he was going fishing, but there was a boat passed yesterday behind a vehicle. It wasn't, the water's not that high.
Right. Doesn't quite make it up to your place,
right,
does it?
Right. And I got a couple other notices here. Today is, of course, Saturday, and the Smithville Farmers Market today. down at Smithville from 9 to 1. And they'll have all crafts and food and...
Hey, well, listen, we got to take a quick break. We'll talk more as soon as we get back. Just give us a minute, folks.
Yeah, don't go away. We'll be right back.
And that Smithville, I tell you what, that's a good place to go. I'm real happy that all the farmers markets are getting ready to fire back up because we need them. You know, we love those local organic vegetables. So anyway, yep, we'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB Bloomington at 91.3 FM, 98.1. Nashville is 100.7 FM. Ellettsville at 105.3 FM, 106, wait, what am I looking at here? Yeah, 106.3 FM, and we are community radio for South Central Indiana. Be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon. Okay, now we've told them who we are, so we can talk more.
We can talk a little bit now? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we were talking about the farmer's market, and that's the first Saturday of each month until about the 1st of May, I think. And then, of course, the vegetables will start coming in shortly after that, and then they'll change the time. But it's the first Saturday of each month, and it's from 9 to 1 down at the old Smithville Gym right there in Smithville, Indiana. And... like I said before, they'll have food and crafts and probably flowers, what have you. Kind of like a little flea market on Saturday, and that's to get everybody together and kind of visit and socialize a little bit with everybody. And so don't forget that. That's today. And then there's another thing, and I don't have a lot of information on it, but down at the Handy Meeting Barn, starting at 12 o'clock is a benefit auction for a young man that's got stage 4 cancer. I don't know his name. They didn't give me his name. I don't have a lot of information. I know there's going to be an auction, and it starts at noon. At the Handy Meeting Barn, formerly Buddy Bill's. And so everybody's welcome to come down and partake of whatever they've got to sell.
Well, that'd be good for him too. So
yeah, it's a benefit for him to help pay some of the bills and stuff.
And tell him where your Handy Meeting Barn is.
Well, it's where the former Buddy Bill's was, and same building, and it's south of town on Moffett Lane.
Okay.
2827 East Moffett Lane.
And we got a caller. I think it's Mr. Jordan. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, he is.
Hello.
All right.
Fine.
Well, good to hear from you. Have you dumped your steel stocks yet?
No. I didn't have any steel stocks.
Well, you're probably lucky you didn't.
Well, I guess I'm not too worried about that sort of thing. But, I'm just a little groggy this morning, boys.
How are you?
What? You didn't drink too much beer last night, did you?
No, I didn't set my alarm.
Oh, I see.
I woke up about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that'll do it.
Have you got the coffee made yet?
I do have that made. I got on that right away.
Well, you got to have a little cup of coffee there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You ain't got sunburnt this week down there, have you?
Well, you know, there's been quite a bit of nice weather. It's been in the 80s and actually 88, 91, you know. It's been,
yeah, that's what I've heard.
Today is a big cool down.
And, yeah, they said that, I know I was talking to my niece over on the East Coast, by Fort Lauderdale, I guess. And she said it was high today over there. It was supposed to be 60.
Well, that might be a little cooler than we are. We're 69 right now.
That's cool.
I mean 59, not 60. I'm sorry. 59 this morning. And it's supposed to be in the 50s the next few mornings, actually.
Well, it's in the 30. Was in the 30s here this morning. It's 26 now. But when I got up at 4 o'clock, it was still 32, I think.
Well, you had that nice spell last week in the 50s. I was watching that.
Right. Well, of course, this is second of March now. I guess I think today's the second, and March is coming in like a lion.
Yeah,
and I like to see that, and then it'll go out like a lamb, maybe.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Well, we got other things going on in March. You know, we got the don't forsythia bloom in March? Are your forsythia plants blooming?
No.
You haven't seen any blooming yet?
No, I think that's about up into April, I think, before they bloom.
Well, I've had them blooming in the middle of the winter sometimes.
Well, they probably could, yeah.
So I expect it'd be up in the flowers, you know, the tulip-type flowers and hyacinths and whatnot.
Ours not coming up yet, and this cold weather is good, really. It's keeping the trees from budding out and getting froze
That's
back.
Good.
So hopefully we have some fruit this year.
Well, it is always the problem in Indiana, you know, where the fruits are budding and they get hit with a freeze.
You're right.
And it happens a lot.
But maple syrup, the sap is running. They're collecting that and getting ready to make some fine eating.
Yeah, we talked about that in detail there, on the show last week, and I hope everybody heard that. It was kind of interesting how you make maple syrup and sorghum and whatnot.
Yeah, it's a art to make. Everybody can't jump in and do it.
Yeah,
you got to have a little experience.
You have to have the know-how,
right?
And whatnot. So let's see. Other than that, it's basketball month.
Is it?
You know, well, yeah, the NC2A tournament and the high school basketball tournament.
Yeah, high school's going.
Both going. Of course, Indiana got knocked out of the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, in a New York minute, they said.
I'm telling you, they were ahead 24-8 and ended up losing by 6 or 7.
Yeah, I don't understand all of it, but. Well, I think Archie will do good. I really do. He's gonna have to get his own players in there and start recruiting. And I think after once he gets that started, I think he'll come up the ladder. I hope.
I think he's obviously a good coach. He improved those players vastly this season. Turned them into a pretty good defensive team. Couldn't stop that guy from Rutgers the other night, but they look a lot better than they did at the start, and I believe you're right. I think Miller Archie will be a good coach for IU. Of course, his brother's in big hot water out in Arizona.
Yeah, he's in hot water up to his throat.
Yeah, so for I don't know. They claim that. He was going to be the middleman on a $100,000 payment to a basketball player out there, and I don't know whether they really got it right or not. So
I don't either, and nobody will know until it's all over, and And as the old saying is, he's not guilty till he's proven. So,
well, that doesn't always work that way in our society.
Well, not in our society, it doesn't.
And you say, if you say somebody's done something, you know, they're pretty much guilty and unless they are proven otherwise. And then when that happens, very seldom people hear about it.
Right.
So, of course, in college basketball, they're so money hungry that I would believe just about anything that they were doing probably is true. So,
I'd say it's true, yes.
There you go. And hey, you said something about fishing a while ago. You said you saw a guy heading down there. You know?
Yeah, heading down the lake in his boat, or with his boat, anyway.
Well, old Dan Nanook Wagner, he doesn't go to the trouble to take his boat out until he's gone down to Payne Town to test and see if the crappies are up in shallow water and biting. So he'll go down there to the dock and fish for a few hours and in the sun when it's warmer. And once they start biting there, then he gets his boats out.
Then he gets out. Well, that's a wise decision to do.
Go ahead.
Did you hear what the lake level was?
Yeah, it's 546, is that?
Yeah, 546.34.
Boy, that's the first big change in quite some time, isn't it?
I can't remember. It's been, like you said, quite a while, really.
A couple of years?
At least.
Where it's been normal pool or within a few inches, anyway.
Uh-huh. We've had a lot of rain in the last week or so, it brought her up. And they claim for every inch of rain we get in that area, the lake raises a foot.
Yes.
Well, that comes from the Corps of Engineers.
Uh-huh.
So we've had several inches of rain. I don't know, we had three or four there one day or one spell. So we've had, I don't know how many total inches we've had, but we've had a lot.
Well, there's been lots of posts from the DNR law enforcement about flooding around the state. And I got to say, you know, up there north in the, around the old Kankakee Valley and the lake up there, you know. Buddy Mike Heffern said he saw some pictures of it. It looked like it had returned to the old Kankakee Lake that used to lay across all of northern Indiana, and the river had reclaimed all that farmland. And it wasn't just an inch or two deep on that land up there, it was several feet. You know, they had their cars that were totally underwater just out in these, you know, farm fields.
Well, it's hit hard up there. There's a lot of ground flooded, and up there and down south both. And there's a lot of flooding going on.
Yeah, well, it's not the great flood, but it's no. A lot of rain.
Well, we're going to have to get out of here for a little station break. And me and Don Rich, we'll be back in a little bit. So don't go away. Leave that dial right where it's at.
We'll be right back.
And we'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
And you're listening to WFHB, Bloomington at 91.3 FM. Also Bloomington at 98.1 FM. Nashville at 100.7. Ellettsville at 106.3. And this is community radio for Southern Central Indiana. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. What's the name of that song you just played there, Rich?
Let me see. That is called...
I like that.
High Up on a Mountain.
Well, I like that. High Up on the Mountain. Yeah.
You didn't know that I did that song, did you?
I didn't know you did that, but that's wonderful.
That's me and Brian.
Is that you and Brian?
Yeah, from Iowa.
How is old Brian?
Well, actually, I got some bad news about Brian.
Uh-oh.
His father passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was
2 weeks ago today.
Oh, that's too bad.
Huh? Yeah, he was 87.
I hate to hear that.
I do, too. He was a great man. He was very generous to me in my life, and sad to see him go. I hope his mom's going to do okay, Helen, and... But he had been having some mini strokes and some other things going on. But, boy, I tell you, he was out in the combine all the way up to...
Yeah, well, he combined last fall.
Yeah, so I was sad to hear it. I knew he was having a little more trouble staying at home and stuff. His son, Fred, was doing more work, and Brian's been doing more work out there on the farm, and it's... Time to move on, I guess. But he did live to be almost 90 years old. So Brian, if you're listening, sorry to hear that. But he was a good man. So not much you can say at that point, right?
No. It's sad. But we all got to go through it, and we're all going to go that direction one of these days.
That's the truth.
We don't like it sometimes, and it's hard to understand, but that's part of life and part of death, and we send our prayers to Brian and his family.
Thanks. So, hey, Don, you still there?
Yes, I'm right here.
All right. So,
High on the Mountain. My gosh, I like that. I like that song.
Listen, remember I was telling you about the tree I got in my yard last week?
Yeah, you're some kind of chestnut tree or...
Well, I found out what it is. It's a sweet gum tree.
Sweet gum.
Yes. And that's why which is a little strange. There are a lot of them around, but they're probably one of the worst trees you can have in your front yard, I think, because of those seeds I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got one, but it's seedless.
Is it?
Uh-huh. It's something they brought out. It's a nice tree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a pretty tree and everything. The problem is it drops these spiked balls, and they're pretty bad because they fall down. The birds get to them first. They take the seeds out, and then they fall down, and they got these husks, and they'll twist your ankle, and they're hard to rake up because they're all spiked. They like to grab hold of everything. But that's the one that was. I finally figured out which one it was that we were complaining about in the front yard.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you found out which one, and that makes it a little more interesting.
And we were just talking about maple syrup. We out at a friend's house, we tried to tap into a maple tree, started flowing, and had some interesting things to say when it was. Maybe this was last week, and it was like maybe 35, 40 degrees in the morning. And we tapped the tree, and boy, as soon as it got up to about 45, 50 degrees, boom, it started flowing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because you can see just when it gets warm enough, what'll happen.
Right.
Unfortunately, this maple tree is hollowed out. So I think it's pretty much quit. We didn't get that much out of it, but, we figured that out later, so I think we pretty much tapped the whole tree. But anyway, we're trying to see if we can come up with some syrup to make ourselves this year.
Well, of course, the freeze and the thaw in February is what gets it to going. And
yep. Probably a good year for it, I would think.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
Now, talked to a guy yesterday. He had tapped some, and he said I guess it'd be this last week. He said it didn't flow very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe we didn't have enough coal to drop down to freezing to thaw and raise the temperature then in the day for it to flow. I don't know how that works. I've not been into it, but
well, we were just for freezing. The first time trying it, so it seemed like it flowed for a while, but then it slowed down this week. We don't know whether maybe that we're having the same problem.
Well, if it was this week, then he had the same problem.
But the week before, when it was real warm, it was doing pretty good. Yeah, so maybe that is the problem.
It's got something to do with it. And like I said, I never did make it. No neighbors made it and stuff, but I never did make any. And I never did make any sorghum. I've been around it when they was making it and stuff like that. And it's on the same principle.
Yeah.
Say, boys, I've done a little of this, and I know we talked about it before, but the key thing on the maple syrup flow is that you got to have that ground frozen in little geometric paddles or patterns. If you look at the dirt on the ground,
mm-hmm.
you see that those little frozen patterns on the surface of the ground. That's when the maple syrup flows. Of course, since I haven't been there, I couldn't tell you how the ground is up there. But
that's thawed out right now.
And the flow does start out heavy and fast, but mm-hmm. it does slow down. So slowing down is not a big bad thing to worry about, you know. So just keep those buckets on the trees, and you'll get the syrup eventually.
Right.
So I just want to throw my 2 cents worth on that.
Yeah, well, we're listening for every little bit of information we can find.
Well, I know it's a long process, and there's a lot of work involved, and you better have a lot of firewood on hand.
Yeah.
Start making maple syrup. And this is the end of the year, so you shouldn't be needing too much of your firewood anymore. You can go out there and make some maple syrup.
Well, let's hope it's... making a little turn here.
Well, you know, we still got the high school basketball tournament, which Indiana legend says there's always a snowstorm during the high school basketball tournament.
Well, that's mm-hmm. supposed to come this week.
Well, we'll see. You know, I said that to my wife last night, and she just laughed at me. It's bull.
Well, you may be. She may be wishing she hadn't laughed. You may get the last laugh.
That's right. You hear that, Joe?
Because they are talking about snow about Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday.
I believe that's what it was when I come in. Rich will look it up here on the weather map.
Well, it says Tuesday night could start some chance of rain and snow, and then a chance on Wednesday. I don't see much about Thursday yet other than it says partly sunny. So... if it's going to happen, it'll probably be Wednesday.
Might come of a night while you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Late at night while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
That snow comes a-creeping.
Yeah, it'll slip right in. Yeah. Have you done any fishing down there, boy?
No, but the fish, the beaches are covered with dead fish at Fort Myers Beach. And
what? How come?
Yes, red tide.
Oh, the red tide.
And if it's not sewage and animal feces coming down the Caloosahatchee from Lake Okeechobee, it's the red tide coming in from the Gulf of Mexico. And we're getting battered by dead things here. Real smelly down on the beach, I guess. And this is a second time in 3 years that something like this has happened. And it's until they fix that Everglades thing, buy that land and start sending that water down south instead of over here to us, it's going to continue. So you still have to go out quite some ways. You can catch a few small fish in the shallows here, and if you're lucky enough to live on a canal with a dock, you can probably catch as many fish right off your dock as you can out in the Gulf of Mexico right now.
Uh-huh.
Near in water. And the fish that are washing up are everything. I saw some giant redfish, a couple of big tarpon, lots of smaller fish of various kinds. But seeing the big redfish and tarpon up there like that, that's You know, they're big and they really get stinky.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah.
I don't believe the tourists are all that happy. This is not really a big spring break area here, you know, but there are a few college students here, and it's nothing like Daytona or Panama City or the more popular areas, you know. Thank goodness. And there's a lot of people still here for the winter, so the snowbirds have not gone home yet.
No, it'll be another 2 to 3 weeks yet before they start back.
Yeah, I generally think about them, people start leaving about the middle of April.
Yeah, it's closer to April.
Yeah. Well, that's the way she goes. We got some rule making going on at the DNR, NRC, National and Natural Resources Commission. You guys remember that, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Well, they want to institute a rule that will make a bobcat hunting season beginning this next November the 8th. And they sent out an email asking everybody whether they opposed or supported bobcat hunting season. And among the things that this does is allows people to sell captured bobcats and bobcat parts, meaning you can cut off their feet or whatever, I guess, and sell them to somebody. And they also want to establish a trapping season for otters, for river otters, and make it legal to sell parts of otters and their skins and whatnot. So I know that the otters were brought back here by donations to that non-game and threatened wildlife fund.
True.
And if you spent your money, if you donated some money and you really like otters, who doesn't like otters? Well, people, I suppose, with fish farms don't, but how many fish farms have we got?
Right.
Not that many. So you can go on the internet here. That's at in.gov /NRC, and then there's a number, /2377. .htm. I'm going to give you that one more time. www.in.gov/NRC/2377htm. This will show you the proposed rules on this and allow you to, or direct you to a place to make a comment on it if you wish. And I'm generally in favor of hunting, as you know, but animals like these, bobcats, you know, there aren't that many bobcats. There's some bobcats around, and you do see them now and then, but I don't believe they even hunt them down here in Florida, and where there's lots and lots of them. So I got to say I'm against it.
Well, yeah. I am, too. I'm strictly against it myself.
Well, I hope you'll join me and everybody else who goes to this and that natural resources site and tells them that you're against it. And they may pay attention to it.
I doubt it. They got their minds made up already.
One thing they did do, I noticed in these rulemaking, in these new rules, is they if you happen to trap or otherwise end up with a coyote in your possession, you have to euthanize that animal within 24 hours. And there's no mention of handing it over to a live bait dog training facility. So maybe that was the live bait dog training will be over if this passes. It doesn't really say that, but it doesn't mention that you can hand over your captured coyote to the dog trainer. Chase around.
Well, that'll be interesting to see.
Well, yeah, and there's one, or at least there was one over in Linton. Remember that?
Right.
And I don't know if that's still going or not. I'm hoping not, but
I haven't heard much about it since we talked about it, what, a couple of 3 years ago.
Right. We haven't heard a boo out of them. That, sometimes that's not good because they're just keeping real quiet about it, and the state is too. They were going to send a DNR representative over there to oversee this. You remember that?
Yeah.
And I haven't heard a thing about it since then.
Well, that's the last we I've heard, so I don't know where it's on or off.
Well, and maybe we should tell our audience that didn't hear us a few years ago talking about this, that the dog training facility is a place where they just fence in a big area, and they set the dogs on foxes and coyotes that they catch, and it's real bad for these critters and coons because they're terrorized throughout the day, and they give them a little oil barrel or something to retreat to, but basically, you know, they say it's to train the dogs, but I don't know. It's to me, there's some other activities going on, like betting on the dogs and that sort of thing, as far as I know, but I can't imagine. My dog tends to know what to do when he sees something he wants, so I don't think you have to train him to do it.
No, they're born with those tools.
Mm-hmm.
They're set to go on what they do, and that's what they do. Most dogs chase things, and that's part of life if you're a dog.
Yeah.
Us humans never chase anything, though, do we, huh?
No, no. Much.
Not much, huh?
Often.
Well, in any case, keep your minds on that and, get a hold of the DNR.
I wanted to ask you about this Indiana Wildlife Federation website. You had sent me a link to vote, and I still can't find on here where to do that, because the link you had said that you'd already voted, so it must have been connected to your personal thing. So where do I go on that website to find it? Do you know?
Which website are you talking about?
The Indiana Wildlife Federation about the bobcats.
Oh, that's not the Wildlife Federation. That's the DNR.
Oh, well, that's where it sent me. So that's probably why I can't find it.
www.in.gov/nrc/2377htm. I'm sitting here looking at it right now.
Okay.
That says proposed rules, rulemaking docket.
All right. I will check that out. And so there you go. You can vote there, folks, at the DNR website. That's the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. And yeah, vote for that. Vote that out, because I don't think we need to be hunting those critters. They're, you know, people don't realize that they're a part of nature, and they have their own job to do out there. So we certainly don't need to. I've never had one bother me. Have you, Bill?
Nope.
So.
No, they
neither.
They won't. They won't bother you. Or you, I guess, if you got one hemmed up in a corner or something,
right.
He's going to fight to get away. But.
Well, hey, we got to take another break, so, you know.
Well, folks, don't go away. Stay right where you are, and we hope you're enjoying the program this morning. And by golly, we'll be right back. We got a lot more to talk about, so, and a short time to talk. So we'll be right back.
All right.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
And you're listening to WFHB. We're here in Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College. They're a proud supporter of community radio, and we're happy that they support us. So if you like WFHB, you can also donate. We'll take donations all through the year. That's where we're supported. So come on in. Check out the station. It's right downtown at the Firehouse, which is at 4th and Walnut. And, you know, you're welcome to drop in anytime, take a look and see what's happening. And go ahead and donate, because we're one of the few places where, you know, community radio happens here in this area. So, matter of fact, we're the only place. We'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, and we are back here at Inside Outdoors. Bill, did Bear wake up there?
Yeah, I got to wake up. I was about half asleep sitting here. But it's still early in the morning.
Gosh. It is.
Yeah. A lot of people haven't gotten out of bed yet.
No.
And then there's them good people that got out of bed and got us tuned in and listened to what we have to say.
Well, it's a good day to get up. It is a little bit chilly right now. It's 26 degrees. Matter of fact, it seems like it got a little colder in the last hour because it was 27 when I got here. But humidity is 88. We'll be clear today and sunny, so it will get up to 51 degrees, and that's going to be nice. So you know, give it a little time.
Yeah, we'll have some warmer weather. Just hang around; it'll get better.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, fellas.
Yes.
Yep. Check something here.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hey, I just wanted to add something real quick before we got off of this bobcat thing. You know, that website I gave you, that's the correct one. Down near the bottom of that page, there's a link that says make public comments, or do you want to comment on this rule? So that's where you can do it, right there on that page that we gave you just a second ago.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
We'll get right to it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you still there?
Had to say.
Yep, no problem. That's good, because everybody should vote for that if they can, and you can find it on the DNR website.
There you go.
Well, you know, if you like animals and you're an outsider person and a nature lover, you should vote. That's vote against it.
Yeah, you should, especially if you donated money through the non-game and non-game wildlife program, where to restore these animals to Indiana, and now they're going to hunt them and whatnot. You're probably not too happy about that. So,
well, I wouldn't be. I don't know. I don't know. Remember donating to them? I may have. Me or Claire's won. But
you have to make it, you know, you got to make it specific to donate to that. It's not all that easy to do it. I mean, it's not like just a check off on your tax form.
Oh, no, no.
You need to actually take some action and get on this website and click that link that says comment. So that's that.
Well, everybody get on there and... like I say, maybe it'll do some good, doubt it, but hopefully we got to do our part. Whether it does any good or not, we still got to stand up for our rights and our part.
Right. But I was going to mention, ask Rich. He mentioned last week about this movie on Yellowwood and the big trees they were going to cut down. Did you see that movie yet, Rich?
I did not see the movie, but it was free last weekend at Brown County Playhouse. That's all I know.
That's right, Brown County Playhouse. Well, I haven't heard any changes. I don't believe that anything you can do is going to change the Division of Forestry's, cut these trees down. That's the way they operate.
Well, this is the way of the world right now. We've got a Secretary of Education that's anti-public schools. We got an EPA chief who's anti-environmental protections. We got an Attorney General who's anti-civil rights. We got a Secretary of State who's anti-diplomacy. We got a Secretary of Labor who's anti-unions. We got a Secretary of Housing who's anti-housing assistance. We got a Secretary of Energy who's anti-clean energy. So what do you expect?
You can't expect much more.
I guess you can expect pretty soon to have somebody who is anti-everything.
I think we got one of those in charge.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of that, the NRA has been in the news quite a bit this week. Maybe we should talk a little bit about that. But, you know, I was just floored when our president said that we should just take the guns and then worry about due process later. Can you believe that was said out loud?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was worried about Obama, according to, remember, for the last 8 years on our show, you know, people were, you know, they're going to take our guns away. And then here this is being said now.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday, he was against, you know, hey, the NRA, you know, or who's afraid of them? And then by Thursday, he had changed his whole idea around. And apparently the NRA is saying that the government's not going to do anything about gun control.
Well, they won't. They'll get up there and sit and argue and discuss, and that'll be the end of it. And
you know the turtle man, that guy from Kentucky, that senator from Kentucky.
Yeah,
like a turtle. McConnell, is that his name?
Oh, Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Well, he's already said that they weren't going to take up this issue anytime soon. So there's not going to be anything talked about on gun control in the Senate. That's just the way it goes. And the House is probably going to be even harder to get anything through. And they haven't said anything about it, I've heard. At least Paul Ryan hasn't said anything. He's interested in taking care of Social Security right now, I guess. He wants to get rid of that. So that's the next agenda. They got to get rid of Social Security to pay for the tax cuts they gave to the multi-billionaires.
Well, they said that's what was going to happen, and that's the way it's looking.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I just can't imagine that all the people in the United States that get Social Security are just going to sit there and say, okay, go ahead, take the money.
Yeah.
I've been paying in it for my whole life, but I don't want it. I want all these rich people to have it.
Yeah.
And that's who's getting it.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it. And the things that are happening to national parks, national monuments, other federal lands being thrown open to four-wheelers, that's going on all over right now. They're making a big push to get more federal lands open to off-road vehicles so they can rip through the woods and tear it up. Which is what's happened to every state, national forest. Not so much states, but national forests in the south, east of the Mississippi, and same thing's going on in the west, but not as bad because they don't have as many people. You go through a national forest somewhere in the south, even Arkansas, you know, and it looks like bulldozers have been through there, ripped to pieces. Lots of mud in the water. Not good for fishing. Not good for fish reproduction. I don't know. And they have a lot. They have a very strong lobbying group, and they spend a lot of money on it. These manufacturers of the four-wheel drive vehicles, the ATVs we're talking about. And, of course, everybody's given dispensation to people with disabilities. You can drive through just about any place in your ATV if you've got a disability. And as Bill has mentioned before, it's not always people with disabilities you see riding those things, right?
Right.
So there's got to be more control of that if they're going to allow it, but there isn't. So if you're out squirrel hunting and here comes an ATV, you can thank the DNR for that. If you're out mushroom hunting and an ATV has run over your mushroom patch, you can thank the DNR for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the end of March is when the black morels come up.
Yeah.
How about that, Bill?
Yeah, I'm waiting. That we as much rain and stuff, we didn't get that much snow. The ground's moisture should produce a lot of mushrooms.
Well, I hope it does. As I recall, last year was kind of a bust on mushroom hunting.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a good one.
You think this will be a good year this year, Don?
Well, I don't know what makes a good year anymore. I used to think I did, but it's just if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much prediction involved on mushrooms. Bill always says that if it snows a lot, that's good for the mushrooms. Well, you know, We had quite a bit of snow early, didn't you?
Well, we've had a little snow, but not a lot, no.
Well, anyway, that's so. Maybe that's good, maybe that's not good.
Yeah, who knows?
We'll find out when the time comes. And,
well, let's hope it's a good year anyway.
Well, I do know that normally about that time of year, the other thing that happens is the Jordans come back to Indiana normally around that time. They return.
Yeah. Normally. Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
We come back after the Cranes.
After the Cranes?
After the Cranes, yes.
All right.
We follow them. and, of course, the changes in wildlife rules, they don't have the 25 fish limit for bluegill in there again. They just don't care.
They don't care. That's exactly right.
People like to catch 200 fish out of any public water and pretty much eliminated as a fishing hole if they can.
Yeah, and then they complain because there's no fish. That's what gets me.
Blame it on the DNR. Well, that's where it deserves the blame goes because, you cannot have a good bluegill lake if you got people taking 100 fish out of there every day.
Yeah.
This ain't going to happen. So you got to have your own lake. Go out and buy your own pond. Get together with some buddies and buy a good bluegill lake and manage it for it. And then you'll always have good fish.
And that's the only way you're going to have it because you're going to have to manage it yourself.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, it can be done,
Right. It can be done.
You can limit the number of fish that people take. That's the main thing. If you allow them to take 20 fish instead of 120, your fishing hole is going to be better off. And if you can't see that, well, you better get a new pair of brains.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, anyway. So we got turkey hunting sitting out there warming up, Bill.
Yep, that's the next season coming in. That's in April, so that's not too far off.
It sure as heck isn't. It's real close.
I think it's, 26th, 25th, right in there somewhere. We did have the date. I don't have it wrote down here, but I think it was around the 25th.
Yes, it's good. Yeah, April.
So we got a little time yet to, and then youth season comes in the week before that. So that's middle of April.
Yeah.
That people who really do hunt turkey will start about now scouting.
Right. Uh-huh.
And, if you just go out there cold and not knowing where to look, you may never see a turkey. But if you can figure out where they're roosting, where they go to water, the first thing turkeys do in the morning when they get down off the roost is go to water. So I'd be looking around where there's some available water, like a small stream, something like that.
Yeah, a pond or something.
Pond, yes, those wildlife ponds down in the Hoosier National. Those are all magnets for turkeys.
Right.
So I would get out there and start looking so you know where to set up your blind when turkey season comes.
Yeah, I like this. Go out and call them and just listen at them holler.
Well, you can get a response out of them, especially if you got a pretty good call. Best ones I've ever heard guys just did with their mouth. You can buy all kinds of devices to make turkey calls nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
If you're into devices, you can get a couple of those. And go out and sit down on the ground and hide yourself. And whatever you do, don't wear any red or blue in your outfit or somebody's going to mistake you for a
gobbler.
Right.
And see the end of your turkey hunt.
Yep, real quick. You don't have to wear orange, but I always wore orange.
Well, that's right. Even though the birds can see color, You know, they can see color, but if you wear one of those hunter orange outfits that's broken up like camouflage, that probably helps quite a bit. But you don't. I don't know. The hide is the necessary thing, and no movement, and keeping quiet. Those are all very important in hunting turkeys. Turkeys are pretty sharp.
Their eyesight is what, 1,200 times greater than a human's?
I'm sure it is.
I think that's what they predict.
And they hear everything. You know, they got really good hearing, and they probably got good smell too. So it's just like all wild animals. They're well prepared for defenses.
Right, right. And you won't see one wearing hearing aids.
You won't.
No, he's got good hearing. I don't think they lose that.
Hey, well, we're running kind of slow or out of time, and I did want to mention one other thing that's going on in the outdoors, and that's that big nor'easter in the east. My daughter lives near Washington, and she said they were out of power, and there were trees down and power lines down, and 70 mile an hour winds, and they're not even getting the worst of it, because they're getting a lot of snow up in New Jersey and New York and all the way up into Boston and Maine. So watch out if you're going into that area. It's a tough thing that's going on there right now.
My suggestion is stay out of that area.
Yeah.
Even I think better reason to stay out of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah, period.
But we're talking about the whole northern part of the East Coast, because what happens with a nor'easter is it blows in from the north and the east. So it's coming in, and that brings the seawater in and everything. I noticed Seaside Heights up in New Jersey was getting washed out, and all those beaches get hit really hard, and it's always a tough time when that happens.
I think this morning there was 1 million people out in electricity.
Yeah.
Over 1 million.
Yep.
And but anyway, by golly, we've spent another hour.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling in, Don.
Yeah, Don, enjoy the warm weather down there.
I will.
And don't take any wooden nickels. Bottom fell out of them. So we'll see you next week, folks, everybody, and we hope you enjoyed today's program. And by golly, we'll be back next week with something. We don't know what, but we'll have something.
Yeah, and you've been listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College, Bloomington, proud supporter of community radio. And it is 26 degrees here in Bloomington. Humidity is 88%. And should be sunny today. Be high about 51 degrees once we get to it. Get that sun out and everything. So you have a great day. And we'll see you next week here on Inside Outdoors on WFHB, Community Radio, Bloomington, Indiana.